You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to another episode of the Swamp 247 podcast. I am your host, Graham Hall, joined by Blake Alderman, our recruiting extraordinaire over at Swamp 247. He was on the show last month to talk about Florida's efforts on the recruiting trail, and he is back to do that once again. Now that we are in full off-season swing mode, that is the focus for the Florida football program, is closing out strong on the recruiting trail and adding to the roster through the transfer portal. And that was what the focus was this weekend, although the Gators did have a hire to make along the assistant coaching staff. We'll talk about that a little bit more in this episode. But first, we're going to dive into what the weekend looked like for the Gators. Florida hosted 9 players on campus this weekend. Luckily, they were able to mostly avoid the rain here in Gainesville. But otherwise, aside from the weather, Blake, what did this weekend look like for the Gators? Just briefly, can you touch on who Florida had on campus here in Gainesville this weekend?
Yeah, sure. They had 9 guys in total that were on campus this past weekend on official visits. This was their first official visitor weekend for the month of December. This coming up weekend on the 15th will be the final visit weekend before the dead period kicks in. And obviously the early signing period starts on Wednesday, December 20th. But just kind of running through some of the guys, they had a mix of high school, JUCO type guys, and also some transfer portal guys. So from the portal, they had DeAndre Jules, a former Pitt defensive lineman, Joey Slackman, who is a former UPenn from the Ivy League defensive lineman. He's one of the more coveted guys in the transfer portal. He's top 25 ranked guy on 24/7 Sports transfer portal rankings. Chimere Dyke, he's a wide receiver from Wisconsin, former guy there, was actually on the Badgers roster whenever Graham Mertz was there. He had his best season in 2022 when Mertz was his quarterback. And then Triquez Bridges, he was a former Oregon defensive back, played a little bit of corner, played a little bit of safety, kind of bounced around there in the secondary. He has 1 year left to play. So those guys were on campus as far as portal guys. Jaden Baugh, Florida's running back target that they are targeting. He's committed to Arkansas currently. That commitment has been pretty shaky over the last couple months. Florida, Alabama have been kicking the tires on him. He'll visit Alabama this coming weekend, and then ideally wants to kind of settle on a decision there, closing in on signing day, if not on signing day. And that's a guy that I think Florida is in a good spot with. He mentioned being 50% committed to Arkansas coming out of that visit. But that visit to Alabama is coming up, and Bama is known to flip recruitments on their head. So that's a visit to keep an eye on this weekend. Speaking of Bama, Jameer Grimsley has been committed to Alabama. He's a defensive back there from the Tampa area. He's been committed to them since summertime, June, July, something like that. I can't remember exactly which month, but since the summer. But has still fielded interest from Florida. Corey Raymond had been in touch with him all the way up until Florida parted ways with him. Billy Napier had been in touch. There's been a handful of guys on Florida staff that have kept the communication open. They got him on campus this past weekend for an official visit. He visited Jacksonville to see Florida play Georgia there earlier in the season. He was at Florida for their Florida State game there at the end of the season. So he's visited Florida a couple times. Brian Taylor, I know we'll get into him later, but he's a defensive lineman, kind of an edge F, which is basically just a funny way of saying defensive end at the next level. That's what Florida sees him at. He actually committed on Monday following the official visitor weekend. Noel Portigen, an interior offensive lineman from Germany, was on campus this past weekend for an official visit. Interesting with him is he actually finished school sometime in the spring. So he's done with school. He's taken his official visit to Florida. He's actually going to hang out in the States. Being from Germany, he's basically got all of his stuff with him on the way to Florida for his official visit. He'll hang out in the States and he'll be getting moved in ahead of the early signing period, or at least on the earlier side of things to, you know, just get acclimated, get moved in. He'll be able to work out with the facility. So that's a guy that projects as a guard for Florida, the next level, or interior type of offensive lineman. So that's a guy that's been committed to them since June. And then finally, Greg Smith. He's a safety. He's listed as an athlete on 24/7, but Florida sees him as more of a safety, maybe some position flexibility back there. Three-star guy there out of the Tampa area. He'll be having his commitment announced on the 13th, so Wednesday of this week, so not much long wait on him. I have thought that Florida's been a really good spot for him for quite a while. I've thought they've been the leader in the clubhouse. He's taken some official visits already to a couple schools, and Florida was his last visit, so he kind of put the bow on his recruitment there, taking his visits, going to take some time to talk over with family. But, you know, Florida could potentially have their second commitment of the week if Smith does pick the Gators, like I seemingly think they're going to, like he's going to.
Yeah, and we'll see if that ends up paying dividends for Florida a little bit later. Potentially here in this week, Smith indicated that he was going to get a visit from Florida's new defensive backs coach later this week, and getting that in-home visit can certainly be critical with sending these guys over the top after a very impressive weekend. And I think that having a face to put to the name is going to be critical for Florida in their efforts. But as you mentioned, the recruiting weekend has already paid dividends for the Gators. On Monday afternoon, the Gators landed a commitment from Brian Taylor coming off of his official visit. I think people see JUCO and they maybe wonder how much a guy can contribute when they get in here. But just from looking at his film, what does it look like the Gators are getting at that position? And it's, you know, worth noting that they're able to land a commitment in that room despite not having a defensive line coach having been hired. I think it's a credit to, you know, obviously Collie James, but obviously Mike Peterson as well, and Austin Armstrong, that they were able to land that commitment from Brian Taylor. What are the Gators getting in a guy who's going to play a very interesting position for Florida within that defense?
You know, it's, unless I don't internet very well, I haven't found what would be his sophomore tape there at the JUCO level. So I haven't seen the tape there, but just running over his stats so far since he's been at Blinn College, and that's playing in 13 games over 2 years. You know, he's sitting at 39 total tackles. He's had almost 10 tackles for a loss and 2 sacks there. And I don't know necessarily if injuries hampered anything, or, you know, obviously they're not playing very many games at that JUCO level. I think 7 games played in 2022 season and 6 in the 2023 season. But just seeing him and, you know, in person, the 2 times that I've seen him, between the unofficial visit for the Florida State game and then obviously his official visit this past weekend, he's a guy that looks like $1 million. He looks like one of what you would want a defensive lineman to look like. That's one of the guys that when you're lining people up to come off the bus, he's going to be one of those guys that is near the front line of there coming off the bus, and measured in this past weekend at 6'4.5", 281. So he's got some size. He's got some length on him. He's, again, a guy that has played. JUCO is obviously not the SEC. I think there's no, you know, secret there, but you've got a guy that has some kind of college experience, whether it just be, you know, how to, you know, balance class and workouts and film study and games and all those types of things. You've got someone that, again, isn't quite on the same spectrum of what you would get at a big university like Florida or in the SEC, but just someone that is going to be able to come in and hit the ground running. It's not going to be someone where there's going to be as much of a learning curve. Obviously, SEC, it's a faster paced game. You're going against bigger offensive linemen that are, you know, potentially future first round draft picks or high draft picks. So it's a different ball game. But you've got a guy that, with Florida having some people that have left for the to hit the portal, move on, just guys that, you know, in general, Florida's defensive line has needed just an infusion of talent. You've got someone that there may not be as big of a learning curve as someone who's coming in out of high school that maybe needs to add some size, or they need to, you know, really learn the game from the ground up, from being a high school guy to being a college guy. So that's the good part about that. And again, just the size you've mentioned there, it's a guy that Florida has been really excited about, just from what they've seen from him doing their own study, seeing him in person, just kind of talking to him. He just seems like a guy that's going to help kind of bridge the young guys that they've had to turn to on the defensive line to potentially whatever they do in the NCAA transfer portal. Obviously, they hosted 2 guys that I just mentioned this past weekend from the portal. So defensive line seems to be an area of focus for them. And again, like you said, it's a big credit. You know, Sean Spencer, Florida's former defensive line coach, who is now at Texas A&M, was who offered him originally, kind of got the ball rolling with Taylor, was the main contact there. But Florida staff in general does recruit as kind of a collective effort type of deal, right? Like Billy Napier was very much involved in this recruitment. And I know that he was a guy that really spent a lot of time with Taylor this past weekend. Austin Armstrong, like you mentioned, being the defensive coordinator, not this past Monday, but the Monday before of last week. Both Collie James, who you mentioned, who has been on the road for Florida. He's a graduate assistant that has hands-on with D-line. Was promoted to be on the road while they've had a vacancy on the coaching staff right now. So you've had Collie James in there last Monday. You had Austin Armstrong with him this last Monday. Napier was involved. Mike Peterson with Taylor kind of being that F position defensive line guy. They classify that as kind of the edge guy, which is the Jack and the F. That's the kind of Mike Peterson's room, if you will. So Mike Peterson was involved. So, I mean, there's just been a collective effort of people that have been involved in this recruitment, all the way from Spencer when he was at Florida to the guys that I just named that are still currently on staff. So from what Taylor was explaining of how they want to use him, he's a guy that will line up as that F position, which is kind of a five technique defensive end, hand in the dirt type of guy. That's maybe a first and second down type guy. Can move him into the three technique on a third down. Can really kind of move this guy around just having the size that he has between whatever front stunt, however you want to run the defense. So you've got a guy that not only has the size, the experience, just a guy that can play multiple positions, you know, a guy that you can plug and play in different spots. So I wrote yesterday, whenever I wrote that story about Taylor and his commitment to Florida, that Florida needed defensive linemen that are going to be able to hit the ground running, because just, you know, having back-to-back losing seasons in a critical third year, Florida needs players that are ready to play now. They're ready to, whether they're contributing as a starter, whether they're rotating in, whether they're a depth piece, whatever have you, Florida needs those guys that are going to be ready to contribute, that don't need as much seasoning in the program. And even if they do, just a little bit of seasoning. And I think Taylor really hits kind of checks all the boxes there.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Yeah, aside from that very valuable positional flexibility that you mentioned, I think that you hit the nail on the head that this is a guy with collegiate experience. And we spent so much of the past season writing about how young the Gators were, and they have lost experienced players to the transfer portal, whether it's Chris McClellan, Princely Umemiyelen. We'll have to see what happens with some other guys as well. It looks like they'll get Justice Boone back for next season, Tyreek Sapp as well. But clearly they're going to need older players who are going to be able to play along the defensive line next season. And I think that need led to Florida putting a lot of pressure on to get, you know, Taylor to commit after this weekend. And it was a successful one. As valuable as high school recruiting certainly is, you're going to have to add players with experience who are able to come in and play right away. And they're physically developed. And it looks like that's what Taylor provides. But clearly the high school rankings are going to continue to be valuable for Florida over the next, what, 8 days here before early signing day. I think that that is absolutely clear. We have written about it at Swamp 247 that keeping the recruiting class intact has to be a primary focus for the Gators. And there's been a lot of concern about Florida's ability to do just that, coming off of not just a 5-7 season, but quickly parting ways with a pair of assistants, the one you mentioned, Sean Spencer, and Corey Raymond, who Florida opted to part ways with after the season. Fortunately for the Gators, their odds of keeping a lot of those players in the class may have received a boost over the weekend, because not only was Florida working on the recruiting trail, talking to transfers, but they were finalizing a contract with Chargers defensive back coach Will Harris, who now has finalized his move to the Gators and now is out on the recruiting trail for this valuable 8-day stretch. We saw him on social media earlier Tuesday. It's Tuesday late morning as we're recording this podcast. He was up on social media indicating that he was going to head to Texas, the 5-star defensive back Xavier Filsame. Just how valuable, Blake, in your opinion, is it having Harris now in the building, being able to go out on the recruiting trail? We mentioned that he's going to go see Greg Smith later in the week. Just having him out there recruiting a guy with NFL experience, a very young, relatable guy from what it sounds like. We've yet to meet him, of course, now that he's coming over from the West Coast, but it sounds like the indication is that this is a young guy who's relatable, who is a name on the rise. He would have had interest from LSU, some other programs, if the Gators had not hired him this offseason. What does this move mean for Florida when it comes to the recruiting efforts for the next 8 days?
Well, I think you hit a lot of the points. Have a young guy that's relatable to their players. I saw that the story on, I think it was the Chargers team site, that this is a guy that he coached up Snoop Dogg's son, man. Like, he was a trainer for Snoop's son. I mean, you've got word of mouth people, that's just something that, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like high school me would have thought that was cool. I don't know if that's, so much for this generation, if they think it's as cool as I would, but just having just being able to relate to people, being a young guy, being able to, say that you played under Pete Carroll there at USC. I'm curious to see how much that weight that carries on the East Coast down in Florida as compared to out West. So I think there's a lot of wait and see parts there. But you mentioned that they're going to go see Xavier Filsame on Wednesday. That will be the day. I believe Billy Napier will be in there because he has not used his one and only visit during the contact period. So during that contact period of December 1st to I think it's December 15th is the last day there of where you can go in home and meet with guys. Head coaches get one visit, so you have to be slightly strategic with that visit. So they've waited on a couple of the guys between commits and targets and guys to have this week kind of be the week where you roll in Napier, you bring in the head man, kind of get that last say-so before the dead period kicks in. And it's kind of common at most schools. The guys that you maybe feel really good about, like not looking around whatsoever, you see those guys, whether they're commits, you see those early in the season. Some of the guys that maybe you don't feel like you have as good of a shot with target-wise, or guys that are maybe not as high of a profile priority type guy, you get the head coach in there early because you do sprinkle them around during that period in December. So, having Napier in there, I expect Austin Armstrong to be there. But, from talking with people that, are around the family out there in Texas with the Filsame, they have been in touch with Will Harris as things were kind of getting finalized for this job. So I think that shows a testament to a guy that did stay around and was, focused on the Chargers and just finished that game, I believe, against Denver this past Sunday. But he was also kind of double duty with, making sure to recruit these guys, guys that are in the class, just kind of trying to extend the olive branch to get to know people the best you could as you're letting things kind of get finalized there. So I think that's encouraging, seeing a guy that made sure to put the effort into, kind of maybe putting the groundwork, the frame of the house in to building that relationship, if you will. So, I think it's a big in-home visit on Wednesday for them to kind of put a name to a face with Harris. I know that there's been some conversations. I'm not quite sure how many, and I'm just not sure how much time they have had to talk each other. I know there has been some contact, but it's a chance to, really kind of have that last say-so, that between the head coach having that one and only visit, you can see as an assistant, you can see a recruit in their family one time a week. So this is really kind of the last say-so for Florida. And it's got to have to really fit a lot of things into a short period of time of that visit between them just really getting a feel and putting a name to a face and, kind of seeing the vibe check with how things go with Harris. Obviously they can stay on the phone and, every day, and they can continue to talk and, try to lay the groundwork there. But I think a lot of things, you know, relationships go a long ways whenever you meet someone in person and talking to someone in person. So that's big, especially with Texas getting Fields and May on campus this coming weekend for an official visit. You know, I think heading into where they're at with this official visit to Texas and this in-home from Florida, you know, I think that Texas has made up a lot of ground. I think they're a major threat to flip. I think as of 11:30 on Tuesday, December 12th, which is before that in-home visit, I think that he would possibly even be leaning to Texas right now. So Florida really has to, you know, hit a home run with this in-home visit. They've got to probably swing some momentum back in their favor. I guess best case too, if you can get this official visit to Texas to not happen, that'd be great. You know, that's, I guess, the main goal of what you want to get out of that in-home visit. So it's going to be a big hit for them, you know, big stop for them to come in there and see them. So I'm interested to see how things go heading into it. But, you know, Harris also, yes, Xavier Fils-Aimé is a big target and a big point of focus for them this week. You've got to go see Xavier Mincy, one of Florida's cornerback targets, who's had them on the short list for a while. Greg Smith, the guy that we mentioned earlier, that I'm not sure what day they're going to go see Greg Smith, but that's a guy that does expect Harris to be by. And I don't believe Billy Napier has used his in-home visits for either Mincy or Smith so far. But even Jameer Grimsley, who we mentioned earlier, the Alabama defensive back commit, he expects Napier and Will Harris and Austin Armstrong in one day this week. And that's not to say whatever guys from the transfer portal that Will Harris has been looking into, possibly as he's, you know, been biding his time waiting for the contract to be signed. And I mean, I guess you never know with this is kind of silly season now where, you know, secret visits happen, and I'm surely not alluding to anything, but this is the time where a new hire can come in and start recruiting a guy or have been recruiting a guy that I have no idea about that just kind of shows up on a visit and they walk out on a Sunday, or, you know, we end up finding out at some point that they're going to take a visit to Florida and we're like, who is this guy? Like, where did this guy come from? But he has some connection to Harris or a guy that Harris had identified. So I'm interested to see how the next couple of days play out, because Harris does seem to be a young guy that's relatable. He seems to be hungry as far as really attacking the recruiting trail, coming from the NFL, coming from Washington and other stops he's had at the college level. He seems like everything that has pointed to him being a good guy as far as, you know, where he brings as a coaching pedigree. So I'm interested to see, because I'm more of a wait and see guy. I'm more of a wait and see to see how, you know, these in-home visits go, how he relates to some of these guys. So I'm curious to see how these next couple of days go leading up to when the dead period kicks back in. And even then this weekend, having guys that, you know, whoever they're on, have on campus from the high school level, whether it's his position guys or just guys that he's just being around as a collective staff recruiting, whatever portal guys they have in general position wise, or potentially guys in the defensive backfield that they have on campus this weekend. So I'm really interested to see. I think, I don't know if this is going to tell me a lot, because it's just a small sample size as you continue. I mean, this guy's been hired all of like not even 24 hours. He's been officially hired at Florida. So we'll see how things play out going forward. But I do think that this will at least give me at least a taste of, you know, maybe what we'll see of him as a recruiter going forward.
Yeah, it's a very intriguing week. I think we'll learn a lot more about where the Gators stand with several of these targets, including commits, like you mentioned with X. We'll have to find out, you know, keeping him away from Texas certainly is going to be critical. If they can get him to not take that official visit, I think that is a massive win for him. But, you know, him being an in-state guy, that's certainly going to be an uphill battle. We'll see if Harris and Florida are able to do it. Obviously, it's going to be a huge weekend as well later this weekend for the Gators, their entire coaching staff. It may not be intact. We'll have to see if they have a defensive line coach hire in place by this critical weekend. But as that, you know, commitment of Brian Taylor indicated, Florida certainly is capable of landing guys, even without 10, you know, on-field assistant coaches. We'll have a lot more information on Florida's recruiting efforts over at Swamp247. Blake does a great job. If you're not following him on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, if you're not reading his work over at Swamp247, you are missing out as a Florida fan. This is the time to do it. Make sure you take advantage, subscribe. And we'll be back very soon with another episode of the Swamp 247 podcast. It's clearly a critical stretch for the Gators, and we'll be covering it over at Swamp 247 and on the podcast here. But for now, for Blake Alderman, I'm Graham Hall. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.